We celebrate 40 years of deaf ministry today as we're really focusing upon honoring those who have given so much, contributed so much, served so much in our deaf ministry over the past four decades. Having said that, if you're visiting with us, you need not be dismayed. Whether you may be deaf or hearing, we have interpreters for you. And if you have some other language barrier, I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit to communicate what He wants you to hear today. I decided not to make this a history lesson of our deaf ministry over the 40 years. So certainly we could spend a lot of time doing that. There's a brief account of highlights of the past 40 years in your bulletin, and there will be displays and pictures to look at, as well as ample time to communicate with our deaf and with our interpreters after our services today, and especially during our fellowship meal if you choose to stay. Instead, we're going to be hearing some personal testimonies, honoring a few very special servants of the Lord, and drawing some insights from the Word of the Lord found in the book of Isaiah. By the way, this is just a beautiful picture, isn't it? Beautiful picture. I had to do a little photoshopping, so if Tom Lamb's head looks a little big, that's my fault. Okay, to get everyone in one picture. But this is representative of those who are involved in our deaf ministry today. We're going to begin with the testimonies. Miss Nina, Miss Dina, Miss Jodia, and Miss Kathy will be sharing with us.
Hi, everyone. There's just absolutely no way in the short amount of time that I have this morning that I can adequately express to you how deeply I appreciate and admire our deaf ministry. You have been such an important part of my life these last 12 years. I love the way that you are so faithful, your love for God and for one another and His people. Your dedication to Bible study is such an encouragement and an example to all of us. If I had to focus on one thing this morning, I'd have to say how much I love and have just grown from watching you in your worship time. Seeing how you express yourself in praise and in prayer to God and in your worship, the way that your hands, your communication has just helped me so much. Our God more clearly. You've helped me to see and feel His love and His grace and His real message to His creation. So many of us that are hearing, we sit back in the pew each week and we're so fearful or intimidated of clapping our hands or raising our hands or making any type of a movement. And yet when I look at you and I see how it just flows from you in your communication and your offer of praise to your Heavenly Father, it has helped me in my worship. It's helped me to feel freer, to be more expressive, and for that I will be eternally grateful. So to Jan and Jeanette and all of our precious deaf group, I say happy 40th anniversary. I love all of you. Hi, my name is Dina. I've been coming here since 1990, and I met Jan Lamb, Margaret, and Richard, and I've learned a lot from Richard. He's such a good teacher. Wow. And I've been working with the ministry with Jan Lamb, and we've done many different things. You know, I love it here. And I always will love God as well, forever. In my family, we always finish a big meal with dessert. It's a special ending to the meal. And for me, it's always more special with a big dot of whipped cream on top. Sunday morning worship for me is like dessert during the week. It's a time to be refreshed and to worship and praise God with people I care about. It's something I look forward to. When I watch the deaf and the interpreters worship honors and celebrates this deaf ministry. Happy 40th anniversary. My name is Jody. I've been here since 2003. And I just love it here. I love studying God's words. It's helped me. I've really changed my life because of the ministry and just being here. It's many years. Also, Nina has helped me on Wednesdays. You know, every once in a while, too, that things that happen with our lessons, and I can just change my heart and I have more love. I just never want to give up because He loves, and God will not give up on me because He loves His children. God will stay for eternity. We do love this ministry. And I thank you. And that's what I have to say.
Amen. 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 I think it's interesting that, as I understand it, Miss Nina and Miss Kathy did not confer. They just prayed about what it was they felt most moved about in the deaf ministry and by our deaf, and both of them were moved by the same thing, their expressions in worship. And obviously, we might think they're limited to do that. No, they're free to do that. Out of their hearts, those expressions of praise. May we be encouraged by that. May we be inspired by that. I've chosen now to hone in on just a couple of verses this morning. But before I read it in its context, here's the backstory. God's people Israel had turned a deaf ear to Him. They'd closed the eyes of their heart to Him. They were no longer seeking Him, no longer wishing to hear from Him. They'd chosen to go their own way, do their own thing, enjoy the pleasures of life without any consideration of who they were or what God desired for them. Sounds a little like our culture today. So many people going their own way. So many people insensitive to God's word and wishes. Now picking up in Isaiah 29, verse 9, if you'd like to open your Bibles there, Isaiah says this, "Be stunned and amazed. Blind yourselves and be sightless. Be drunk, but not from wine. Stagger, but not from beer. The Lord has brought over you a deep sleep. He has sealed your eyes, the eyes of the prophets. He's covered your hearts, the hearts of the seers. For you, this whole vision is nothing but words sealed in a scroll. And if you give this scroll to someone who can read and say to them, 'Read this, please,' he'll answer, 'I can't. It's sealed.' Or if you give it to someone who can't read and say, 'Read this, please,' he'll answer, 'Well, I don't know how to read.'" Verse 13, "The Lord says, 'These people come near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Therefore, once more I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, 'Who sees us? Who will know? You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Show what's formed, say to him who formed it, he did not make me. Can the pot say to the potter, he knows nothing?'" Now, again, not a very pleasant scenario. But as I said, not much different, perhaps, from our culture today. See, it's one thing for those who say they do not believe in God to ignore Him. but quite another for those who claim they do to close their eyes and their ears to their Creator. That, in the next couple of verses, we're going to see that God intended to rectify this situation. And I urge you to pay close attention. In verse 17, he says, in a very short time, will not Lebanon be turned into fertile field? And the fertile field seem like a forest. And then in verse 18 and 19, in that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll. And out of gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. Once more, the humble will rejoice in the Lord, the needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Now, this is the prophecy of the coming Messiah. And Jesus himself declared that he was the fulfillment of that and other such prophecies about the Messiah. In Luke 4:21, you may recall, he stood up in the temple and he read from the scroll of Isaiah. And he said, in this very day, in the ears of you who hear, it is fulfilled. Then he confirmed it. He confirmed his claims. He performed all kinds of miracles, including the restoring of the sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. Yet the miracles were but signs to point to deeper realities. Jesus had come to open the eyes and ears of the heart. Many times he would say, he who has ears, let him hear. I think it's interesting that you find this expression also in Luke chapter 8, right in the context of the parable of the sower, when he talks about the fact again that people are not open to receive the word of God. He wasn't talking about people who could not hear. He was talking about people who had the ability to hear, but would not. And he says, he who has ears, let him hear. It's about receptivity. It's about openness. Some time ago, we had someone who attended the church here for a while who was very touched by our deaf ministry. And that person felt moved to gather some of our deaf together after a Sunday assembly and pray for them all to be able to hear. And particularly for Richard to be able to regain his sight. I don't wish to belittle that at all. Matter of fact, I was moved by it. But I got to tell you that when I observed what was taking place, a message from the Holy Spirit came clearly to my heart. It was more in the form of a question. Are they the ones who need to have their ears and eyes opened? Again, let me explain. Richard hungers and thirsts for the Word of God. So much so that he's here every Sunday to glean what he can through tactile signing. And I don't understand all of what's being communicated to him. You know, by having him feel signs of Jeanette's hands or Dina's hands, or things being signed into his palm. He can't hear the music. He can't hear a word I preach. I'd hazard to say, and again, I don't know, maybe he gets 20%, even that, of what's shared on Sunday morning. He can't see the screen. So the videos we share, the often beautiful backgrounds, are lost to him. You know, it comes to the things of God, I dare to say that he sees and hears more than most. Jodea pulls a suitcase filled with Bibles and notes and study materials to every class. She reads whatever she can find and prayerfully tries to understand it and share it. It's obvious to anyone who knows her. She loves God and she loves his word with all of her heart. And Margaret and Dina and Dan, they not only hear the word through the American Sign Language, but they also respond to it. As James 1:22 says, they're doers of the word. They hear it, and they respond to it. They're not hearers only. I confess, and God forgive me and you forgive me, I have often thought of you as being handicapped. But I believe I've been the handicapped one so often. So many times I feel like I'm struggling, trying to find a place where I can be free from all the noise, from all the disturbance, from all the distractions, so I can have some solitude and aloneness with God to hear from Him. You probably never looked. And your deafness is a blessing. But maybe it is. Maybe it is. I appreciate you and your hearts and your willingness to again focus upon, listen to, be sensitive to God and His Word. May we be encouraged by them. May we be inspired by them. May we have that hunger, that thirst, that longing, that desire. May we stop complaining and fretting when things aren't exactly the way we want them. And rather just focusing and seeking God. God. Appreciate them so much. In the 12 years that we've been here, as Nina says, we have grown to love you so very much. And I've often said that, you know, I don't sign. I ask, you know, to Jan to interpret for me, for Jeanette to interpret for me, for Dina to interpret for me. Someone, you know, help me out here. But one of the things you've communicated clearly to me, even without an interpreter, except for the interpreter of the Holy Spirit, is that you love me, and I pray that I've been able to convey that message to you. I hear that so many times in churches, the deaf are seen to be a community by themselves. They're pushed aside. They're not included. Praise be to God, Calvary Christian Church. You have opened your hearts and your arms to them. But praise God that they have done that to us. We're one in Christ. We are one in Christ. Praise God for that. I'm so thankful for the way that you guys, you men, you ladies, have shown me, taught me a deeper understanding of what it really means to communicate with God and to be able to overcome any hurdles or obstacles to try to communicate what God's communicating to us to others. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Calvary, can you show your appreciation to them? Amen. That's the way you do it. That's the way you do it. We do appreciate them. So today, as we celebrate these 40 years, let's be prompted to be more like those who are willing to overcome hurdles in learning by seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness, first and foremost, always. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. In Jesus' blessed name, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, Father, for you being a communicator, for you, God, who spoke first directly to the patriarchs and then had them share with their families, the extended families, and then through the prophets, and then through Jesus so mightily and powerfully, and through the apostles, through your word, through your spirit today. But God, I thank you for the spirit that resides within every born-again believer, that testifies we are indeed children of God, but also testifies with one another that we are a family. a family. And though we're not all alike, we all may have strengths that are different and sometimes weaknesses that impair. God, thank you for the strength that you give us in whatever our situation to enable us, God, to know you, to appreciate you, to respond to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his death. Thank you for the victory and the resurrection. Thank you, God, for your church. Thank you, God, for every opportunity that you give us to once again praise you and glorify you in this life. And thank you again for the example the deaf have given to us. May we learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen.